Information provided on the presentation is a summary of the detailed project profile, which we'll provide to the portfolio committee tomorrow. The project that we reflected on in the slide, that are EPRDP, some of those projects are actually implemented by NGOs. Like for instance, the HIV and the health-related project that Honorable Tujani talked to is a community project. So the Department of Health and Municipality ourselves are involved working with an NGO. It's not a project that is just infrastructure like a building. It's community members who formed an NGO and they are implementing the project. Hence the issues of retaining staff and insufficient funding, and as the department we provide the necessary funding from the Iklalufi perspective, and the Department of Social Development also provides funding from their perspective and helps provide the necessary contribution as per their mandate for the department. But on the Iklalufi project, our colleague Ngwera would also be more more details. And that's the terms of focusing on slide 9 on training staff and some challenges on the GP. Slide 20, which talks to unforeseen defects in the building. The DG talked to it, but what we are also indicating is that when we visit the project itself, we will have the project manager on site, and we will have all involved on site, and more details we will then provide in terms of the issues that are raised in the project. One other thing that one must indicate, especially with the planning challenges that we face with this project, is that this project will implement them in this quality. So for us to get site clearance, we have to interact with municipality, even at the level of the officials in the municipality. And sometimes it takes us for us to get to an understanding in terms of compliance when it comes to what the nonsense standards and the bylaws of the municipality implement. For instance, to give an example on the slide 41 and 42, which is the Mpumalanga High Court, we have to commission a traffic assessment study before the municipality could give us the permission to proceed in resolving the access road issues. And we have to even show the cost of that assessment study. So those are the challenges that we face that are intergovernmental as we implement the project, and to overcome them, we make it a point that we enhance our interactions with municipalities. The slide 29 on the contractor that had challenges in terms of the of being 30% below the estimate. The DG also talked to it. In terms of supply chain regulations, we have to consider the price, the low price or the lowest price offered by a contractor. But the normal practice is that when we see the risk of the price being too low as compared to the estimate, we actually write to that dealer to say, can you confirm that you will be able to do this work given the balance? Because we are not allowed to dismiss that type of a bid. They write back and say, no, we are sure we'll do it and this is how we'll do it. But when they get onto the site, we face those challenges and leading to the treatment that the DG spoke to in terms of what we then do. The project that the honourable member also asked questions on, I should also note that these are projects that are implemented by the IG, and as I indicated, the more information will come from the detail, the profiles, and also when we interact with the colleagues of IG. They are not in the meeting today.
Just a second. What will have, you need to say, the project that members commented on, the IG team's responsible.
Yes.
You have mentioned quite a number of projects. So in the mind is which project.
Okay.
Better if you are able to itemize them and say that project X, Y, and D is the responsibility of the IEC. And the other projects that somebody else is responsible. Why don't you group them to say that all these projects are not here?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the Mpumalanga High Court the also Rob Ferreira, but the DG from the province who talked to it, and the Babatun prison project, the funding project, both of the projects that one is referred to, and they were mentioned in the interactions from the Honourable Committee. The the list of projects that were or concerns in terms of infrastructure challenges faced by the community from the as follows: the Everything Primary School, the Atuluti Vet National Youth Corps Building, Ward 12 Primary School, and the Community Hall, and the P3T Hospital. I would request the counterpart from the project to address those. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, members, and DG, my colleagues. In terms of the projects that have been mentioned, I think at the provincial level we are an implementing agent for social infrastructure. That includes the clinics, the hospitals, the schools, social development projects. The ones that have also been mentioned, like the community hall, the diverse colleges, they don't fall within the jurisdiction of the Department of Public Works and Transport. And the manner in which we implement the project as an implementing agent, we are given instructions or requests by the client department. For example, the Department of Health will say that there are challenges in creative hospitals, please go and make an assessment. Based on the assessment that we make, then they look at the financial implications and then they give us the quiet to go and do the work on their behalf. So the last time we worked on P3D, it's a few years back when we did deputy chief mortuary. That was last time. Both departments, the Department of Education, Department of Health, have already procured technical skills. The departments have got engineers, architects, and surveyors, so mainly to do among others this assessment as a client department from a planning point of view. From there they hand over to Public Works to implement the project. So as an implementing agent of government. So basically we'll only go and renovate the school or construct the school on instruction by the respective client partner. So that will answer the first issue that was raised. There was also issues raised about disabled persons and employment, that there's no participation of disabled persons. It is correct, Honorable Chair, that in most projects that we are doing, especially with regards to low skills or any skills, you will always have absence of disabled persons. Solely because disabled persons are getting grants. And on the basis of getting a grant, therefore you are not eligible for employment. Once you get employed, then you forfeit the grant. So it is not very lucrative for people to stop the grant in order to get short-term employment in a project for 8 months or 6 months. So that is the challenge that we are mostly faced with in all the projects. And I'm still come across a department or an agency that has met the 2% challenge as far as employment of disabled persons is concerned. So for more city, as practitioners, it's always a challenge to meet that target of disabled persons. But I must also stress, Chair, that as far as women are concerned, I think there is room and scope for improvement in terms of employment of women. We have done some project files and checks. It has come to a realization that almost in all projects, the community liaison officers are male. So there is, we need to come up with a conscious support on our side to ensure that we make sure that women participate. The employment of women in our project is not ideal. I think we might need to come up with policy prescriptions in terms of how to deal with this. Some of them, the other issue raised, Chairperson, was in relation to slide number 20. Where we are mentioning the age of renovated buildings and the unforeseen defects. This relates to a project of Rufus Ferreira, which has mainly been implemented by the IDT in various places. In instances where we were renovating the building, some of these defects that were unforeseen relate to your sewer and plumbing works. It relate to your electrical cabling, which is very, very much old, and due to the planning processes, those are some of the things that were not properly identified. And perhaps the other variable factor that added to that was that these projects were mainly initiated around 2009 for the World Cup, because all federal have to be renovated for World Cup. So the planning processes were somehow fast-tracked. That's one issue. But the other issue adding to what Mr. Bakale said is that we deal with municipalities, which I was helping for this facility that we created a long time ago. So ever since, I guess, in most cases, since 1994, and then when we implement this project, where you are looking for sites, you don't get sufficient cooperation from some of the municipalities, which exist site plans, are not making the plans available to you. In the event that they make plans available, sometimes they don't give the as-built plans. You get the old plans, and as you construct, you come across buildings and pipes that were not on the plan or which you are not aware of. So there's still a little bit of resistance to some of these municipalities as far as plans, site plans of these buildings that were constructed a long time ago is concerned. So it's a challenge that must be worked on. The issue of Swartfontein Treatment Center, yes, we are consulting the building on behalf of the Department of Social Development. It is correct that there are 5 female housing units which accommodate 10 residents each, but that is not only the scope of work. The scope of work also includes the construction of the main block, the laundry, the TV room, and the car house. So Bekele Treatment Center is a facility where youth which have got problems of addiction of drugs are put in to be treated. So the accommodation is basically for the staff in the treatment center. So whether they pay rental or not, I don't know. It will be a matter of the Department of Social Development. But I know that among others, the accommodation, because of the rural province, is also used to attract the relevant skills, especially also in terms of particularly vehicle technical. In terms of doctors also, we have the facility that we built at Rock Ferreira to accommodate doctors and nurses. So that's one of the issues there. There was an issue also in relation to the big companies leaving our shores. There might be other factors that contribute to that, but I don't think as a department you have stepped down and ready to get forced, but I might comment on the basis of observation. One of the factors, we know that during 2010 there were those collisions, and I think that matter is still ongoing. It's not a resolved matter, it's not a closed matter. There are still processes that are still unfolding to assess whether it might not be criminal charges. That might be one factor. The other factor, it might be a function of our developing or transformation agenda in the built environment, that you are smaller, historically disadvantaged, that companies are now emerging and are able to get a lot of work. So these big companies might be aware that their project pipeline is declining and therefore go outside to look for cleaner pastures. But also, there might also be this issue about political risk in the country. I don't know to what extent, but the commentators and the journalists will always talk about, and the Moody's will always write about this, some of these factors. So there might be multiple factors as to why that is likely to leave the shore. But also our I think as a country, our project pipeline infrastructure is one of the biggest in the continent, running into billions of rand. So there's a lucrative market in South Africa for projects. So maybe we need to make an assessment as to why really are they really living at the time. My last comment, Chairperson, relates to the issues that of wasteful expenditure, inflated amounts, these projects, are they really worth visiting? My personal comment is that yes, they are worth visiting in order to exhibit some of the good work that we do, and also to take lessons of what not to do in project management. Thanks, Chief.
Just the last item, I think we're not coming. And perhaps before we take our meeting, there is a if you will pardon me, Chief, it was answered from the time of there was a question about the figure. In the job of what you need in the job. That seems to be not evident. So those figures are not incorrect, except that perhaps you should have presented it differently. For example,
number on flight 20 and I think it was flight 20 and fly another flight where okay. that example is there in everyone. We state the jobs created, which have put one. I suspect we should have said, of which 17 are women, 33 are young. So even the 17 that are women may also be young. And then they would. That doesn't have to add up to the figure, but it's a part of the process of that.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, BG. I think one of the questions that I had also picked up, which would be applicable to EWC, has been passed on, but I will simply compliment. When you look at the representation of the people with disabilities, people with disabilities and women across all the projects, as I've mentioned, you are not seeing them. In addition to what has already been said, you find that within the context of, you know, the EPWP, for example, these projects, we might be reflecting in the profile that they are multi-year, but on an annual basis, the people who are going to work in that project are taken afresh, meaning a new contract is signed. So the NGOs or the NGOs that deliver the services on behalf of the Department of Social Development, even the municipalities, they take the people on an annual basis, signing contracts. So at a planning stage, you may find that the numbers have been, you know, the targets have been set correctly, but when they start the implementation, not all the people start at the same time. And the majority of projects actually across the EPWP run in that session. You will find that the implementation starts taking off fully to meet the overall target. The selection recruitment is progressive. And when you get to the second quarter of the financial year, then that's when you get more people coming into the project based on availability. Because that the EPWP is also, you know, a self-selecting type of a program where people are just informed about the program, that it is a work creation, work opportunity creating a program, but then they decide on their own for returning to participate. So you find then by the time we finish the financial year, most of the equity targets have been met, started, especially your women. By the end of the financial year, quoting from the past financial year, the least performing sector in terms of representation of women was the environment and culture sector, 87%. And our target, you know, should be 55% for women, 55% for young people, and 2% for disabilities. And then the highest performing was the social sector at 81%. So I think it's because we are right now still looking at, you know, the first quarter in full, and then yeah, in the second. We will see maybe some change broadly in all projects, maybe in the third and the fourth quarter. But I just wanted to comment around that. The other question that you raised in terms of what was the base for beneficiaries, that's referred now to standing slide number 9. And linking to another one, the other project, which is your end, ending with our money on page 40. There, the bottom concern, the challenge, they are talking about the funding constraints. And you will find that the reason why we are, what impact it has on the department, is because by virtue of being overall coordinator of the EPWP, needs, you know, to fulfill the mandate, contribute to outcome testing and ensure that the program continues, the work opportunities are being created through the various stakeholders that have been, you know, identified. So if the implementing agent or the NPO, as we call them, is having challenges of funding or with funding, then it means there will be no work opportunities created. It means then the EPW will not achieve its target. But more than anything else, at that level, looking at service delivery, the phase 3, EPWP phase 3, fourth principle is that the program that contributes to the delivery of public goods, which is your services and assets. So we've had to strengthen mechanisms to ensure that that particular principle is adhered to by the program. So that's why then that's what it means for us, the relevance of the whole thing of these delivery agents. See, without sufficient funding, really affects the department because we will not be able to fulfill the mandate as instructed they have by others. I think the others were touched on. So we, yeah, I think that's the contribution we have.
Thank you, Mr. President. There was a quick question about slide 14, whether after termination of the contractors on site, was any action taken? I think the fact indicates that there was an appointment made of another contractor. On the issue of the figures, especially for slide 41 and 42, we would like to indicate to the committee that we will verify the figure again with the IDT and provide the information that would complete the picture, especially on the expenditure to date and the number of jobs that were created. Those are the two that I just wanted to add on. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, members. Honorable Kola Banyo, followed by Honorable Tore, Honorable Nema Kiela, and Honorable. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. All right, having established that some of those FTs do not fall under the national umbrella, sometimes the province, I know this province, they put transport and public works together as a ministry or a provincial ministry. But now, and I didn't quite hear if you referred to it, this national rural youth service corps falling under rural affairs. Did anyone respond to that as to why it's in such a catastrophic case? Now, I understand fully that your clients have to ask you to fix things. So what I want to know is, have they asked you to, I mean, it's just, I don't know how anybody could even stand up there, so it's disgusting. And then there are various schools, which of course may fall under the provincial public works department, but has the Department of Education at any stage asked U.S. National to undertake repairs to the various schools, Ekwendi Primary or others in Kambakulu and Mananga, all catastrophic. Now, are they coming to you? Are they going to the province? Is the province perhaps not doing the job? When does the province get to the stage, or the people in the province, education department, for example, when do they get to the stage where a province does not do the work? Perhaps more of the budget is simple to handle traffic or the roads or whatever. Do they come to you and say help? What is the situation there? And are you saying that you have at no stage received a request from the Department of Health to fix the mass storm damage at PCC Hospital? I know full well that you were supposed to do and probably did upgrade the picture from 2011, but this is more recent moves along. And finally, reservoirs. I gather they also fall under you. There were four that have been built that are still not working, and one that was built that has leaked from day one. Could you respond to that, please? If you didn't rebuild them, what's the problem? Or who have you hired another contractor who doesn't know what they're doing? Please ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member, Honourable
Thank you, gentlemen. Can you go to the page of the
page?
think this is in the discussion of open, what I want to try us now. The data flow of all the students. And the other gentleman don't like choices. That's what you don't see when they were talking about the
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm not sure as to whether any answer to slide number, because I didn't make, which I raised as concern about the amount of work that could have been done and as to whether it is really necessary to ask to visit that project or to be treated to be the one that has got a lot of work that has been done, so that when we do oversight, we do oversight on something that has got some tangible issues to override on. Then again, on, I wanted to talk about the projects that you were talking about. I know that you think you are an influencing agent for other disciplines, which is true. Before 1994, I don't know what is the situation in Goma, but from the province I come from, which is a rural province in Goma, almost all schools were not in good standing by 1990, because we had to build them ourselves. First, as women, we came fence to the school, okay? We came water, make ourselves sick, build those schools. And most of them better. They were not of good shape by 1994. So thereafter, there was a lot of work that should be done, especially with the school. So I just wanted to check as to whether it is possible for the problem to provide us with the number of projects that you have been requested by the other departments to implement on their behalf. And then if you have, why are they not implemented? It could be because of funds or whatever else. How many are they? What is the situation as far as the spending pattern is concerned? Are you in a position to spend all the money allocated to the problem? Or do you have some rollover? And if that is happening, why is it happening? Because we know that in most cases, because of the many things that need to be corrected, as I was given a preamble before, how the schools are built, we might be having a lot of them that needs attention, that needs to be corrected, that needs to be renovated and so on, and we don't have enough muscle to do it. So is it possible to have that, so that we know what is the same pattern from years and how we have been addressing this? Yeah, I'm also a bit concerned about the issue of the disabilities. You say you are not in the position to reach 2% because they are already taking it. I'm worried about that. In the case of tourism, most of them normally go up to 4% with disabilities. Maybe they should go taking it. Most of the people who are disabled, they are not old people. They are still young. They have families. They have plenty who are supposed to go to school and so on. So the pension that they are getting or the grant that they are getting is not really enough. It's not like an older person. If I'm over 50, I'm getting that grant. To me, it's okay because my children will be older. They have to maintain so many of them and so on. But with the disability, I think it would be just injustice if I think they're getting a grant. While the person for kids in the primary school, in the high school, 1 year or 2 years in the teacher. So I'm sure that this is going to be my son out here, if we can also talk to them. Thank you. Sure.
opening remarks by DG, especially around IoT, and indeed we're now in a better position to appreciate the process environment, which kind of inhibits your smoother operation in this sphere. About the incoming speaker, provincial head, you know, we'll give you opportunity to work them out and give us some business to work with tomorrow. Mm. We'll give you the opportunity to work them through. Still about the provincial head, appreciate the fact that he has a good appreciation of the political environment, which can influence the flow of a variety of capitals, one of them being cash, one of them being skills. I'm saying skills in relation to the fact that when the big boys leave the country, they've been in the industry learning how to handle mega dollar projects for quite some time. They even know how to school because. So when they leave, you know, there is a gap. If I can be a little bit personal, as someone who is doing alterations which are going to cost me in the region of $500,000 on a house in East London. Now, the prospective contractor has come to a situation where he wants more money than the leather that which he has broken so much. So he's a snag yesterday and I said, I'm not going to give you the amount of money you want from me until you've done ABC. Mm-hmm. You know, so I know these things happen time and time again in the private sector and so on. So we're talking about the scale of handling, you know, finances vis-a-vis progress in a way. A lot of our contractors get caught up in that situation and we need to know how to bridge the gap. Now that's about the character. If the political environment in the country is not stable enough, there are not going to be many potential investors that are going to want to put money into our SOE. We're going to be debating this with the House this afternoon. And when that happens, there is less money then to advance the cause of infrastructure. And when that dries up, then there is less construction that's going to take place there and less jobs. For me, say if you would allow me or tolerate me to do this, I'll just compliment, you know, the provincial head for demonstrating an ability, you know, to scan the political environment, social political environment, because that is a good of the sign of a good program manager. Mm-hmm. I've done this before, and it's always part of what we have got to do if we must plan, you know, progressively, constructively, and not as linear. You say, I've got $1 million, so I think I can build a school. Or clinic, you've got to look at the socio-political environment, especially that which affects the instability of the community, as well as, you know, the source of financing. And that's why I thought I'll make a little bit of time, you know, to make that comment. Thank you.
There's a question about slide number 30 that talks to the escalation. In the slide we are presenting that the contractor price adjustment. This is a maintenance contract that we have for the 6 months. So after every 6 months, we look at the economic situation and the inflation and how that affects the contract. So to make the point that the contractor doesn't get participated because of the economic changes. And then there also were indicating there that there were variation orders that were approved to the value of 232,000. We can provide the committee with the calculation of the contractor price adjustment figure as part of the information that we provide, especially when we also deal with the issues on site. The slide 34 is the EPWP project. I'm going to request Miguel to talk to it as to whether it is worth visiting given the figure that are reflected there on the expenditure.
Thank you, DPG. As we are mocking up the profile that we have in place tomorrow, the full narrative profile. We are going to verify with the originally based program money for the EPDRC in Gumala to ascertain what is exactly going on there. There might have been some delays in terms of taking off of the project, but we will check if it is in existence, and then I think it will be worth it to establish full sites around its existence. Thank you. Any form?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. The issue about iterative hospital. Normally on annual basis, we do the planning process with the client department, and they give us a list of projects that they want us to implement on their behalf, including maintenance projects. And these projects obviously are linked to their budget, and that the budget also lie in the client department. Our department is public works road and transport. We have both the public works section and the road section. So you are not able to use funds from the public works side to the road side. Either are you able to use funds from the health department on the education project, because the budget lies with the client department. Before the appointment of contractors, obviously on annual basis we have a table of projects that must be implemented. We come up with an implementation plan. There are budgets from various departments, and even when we process payments, they go to the client department to be paid. Before we even award contracts, we also send letters to the client department to say that there is this school went on tender, the cost of the school is 32 million. May you please confirm availability of funds? And the client department will confirm availability of funds, and all those pages are able to proceed. So we have not been given a brief in terms of what we need to do. But I'm taking it that I'll raise the issue with the client department to say that there's a concern raised by the portfolio committee on this particular hospital. We need to go and do an assessment and see what are the cost implications so that the client department can then be able to give us the guide to do the work. We are looking at that. The second issue is an issue relating to schools. The question is that do we do the work? Yes, I need to confirm that you do the work. In Mpumalanga as a province to date, we have eradicated all mass schools. We don't have children learning in mass schools. Neither do we have children learning under trees in Mpumalanga. We have eradicated all the mass schools. We don't have children learning under trees. We have constructed 5 boarding schools, state of the art, that can be compared to any facility, be it private or public in the country. Yeah. We have done that in Mpumalanga, and mainly because we want to take care of the needs of children who stay in farm schools. Previously, you are correct, previously, we used to have 3 classrooms in a farm school, multi-grade classrooms. One classroom has got grade 1, 2, 3, or the other one, the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, it's for 3 teachers. When you teach grade 1, others must go and play, when you teach grade 2. So there was no education taking place in those schools. I'm talking about things that happened as early as 2009, 2010, that we still had those kinds of facilities. So there is no way you can compare a child that comes from that farm school with a child that went to a township school with grade 1, grade 2. Because basically what it means, what it meant that those facilities are only there to take care of these children and prepare them to become workers, just like their parents. So we're in the process of also eradicating those farm schools. The reason why the boarding schools were constructed was to take care of that need. And in the boarding schools, we have just got one this year in Detroit, in Middleburg. Basically what happens in these schools is that these children go there, they stay there. They pass 4 meals per day, there are food facilities, 4 meals per day, no fee, don't pay anything, they don't even do laundry. Theirs is just to study in a state of the art facility. They are provided with uniforms. So basically, it's part and parcel of a process of doing away with that intergenerational poverty. Because the parents grew up in the farm, they are poor, therefore as a child, you must grow up to come back into farming and all that. So I think one of the project areas we have done well as a province, I think on the education side, in terms of the social infrastructure side, we have done very well. And currently, Chair, with your permission, we are in the process of dealing with the deadlocks in terms of basic services, your sanitation project. We have got those kinds of deadlocks. We are in the process of dealing with those, providing sanitation in schools. For this particular year, Chair, we have got, for education department, we have got 253 projects that we are implementing. And the budget that we have been allocated is 896 million. Projects that were under planning as of end of August were 311. I'm just breaking down the 553. The 311 under planning. Those which were constructing were 140 projects. 32 have already been completed. So that is basically project profile for the Department of Education. So we have ordered this profile for health, for social development, and so there's no way in which we can use money allocated for education on health projects or on transport infrastructure projects. So that is how we're dealing with the space.
My question was, have you been asked by them? You clarified you do the school fairs. There were three schools met, Ekwendeni Primary School, some Bokulu Primary School, Mananga Primary School. They're too dangerous for the children to go in. Have you been asked to prepare those three?
Yes, not my knowledge, but I have that information that we can find out and provide a response to the committee. As early as tomorrow. There was also, Chair, the comment on tourism sector vis-a-vis infrastructure in tourism for people with disabilities. They are able to help there. I guess it's because the nature of tourism is that you have more or less some form of full-time employment, because with infrastructure, the construction projects, renovations will come in for 3 months, 4 months. So people do not want to pay their grants to come into a 3 months, 6 months kind of employment, because the law stipulates that if you are going to work, then you cannot get grants. You can't do the double degree. So I guess with tourism, if the prospects are good and what they get is more than the grants, obviously people will go into tourism sector. But in terms of production projects, there are very limited time frames, and I guess that is why people don't really have interest to do it. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I have
yes.
Think you may find it still falls under this particular division. It's the National Rural Youth Service Corps. It falls under Rural Affairs. Have they asked you to upgrade it? Have you requested? Or I don't see the child ever. I've got pictures. So.
Okay, thank you,
Chair. Thank you, Chair. Just to indicate that we will check with the National Department of Rural Development Department, because I don't think that the province would be the one that tell you. We'll check with them.
A question is about the reservoir. I have done a
remark. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairperson. The reservoir, our understanding is the reservoir within the infrastructure that we are managing, like the hospitals, the prisons, the correctional services facilities. Those with the as part of the turnaround that he just talking to, we got the water treatment units that have been established in the department. We are attending to those. The problem then we talk to the water they are attending to in the infrastructure that they are managing. But all the infrastructure that we are managing is national, especially as I indicated, your business, your correctional services facility, your health facility, we attend to them. Would appreciate if we to get the information on those that are having problems, and we'll send the team to attend to them.
Thank you.
significant when you say on the track. It means you are It means you are God. There's a difference between on the track and on the head track. The material is there. Good folks, are there any other issues? But what I would request from the members, we've had this engagement with the department between now and when we go off. Members, if you could kindly come forward with any further suggestions, you can direct this to Marty, and then one can share it with the rest of the members. Any ideas that you have subsequent to this engagement that you've had, any ideas that can enrich our outreach to the province, come up with ideas and assistance so that we can refine our final progress. If there are no further issues, Director General, and from members, then it seems this is how far we can travel down this road. Also suffice to say that between us and our department in Mpumalanga, we also stay in touch with the ministry and the department for the relevant roadblocks in regard to this project. So, I would like to thank you very much. All I can offer you now is very expensive ice, tea and coffee.
Thank you.